What's up, everybody, and welcome to Over the Top. The first English trophy of the season goes to none other than Manchester City, who win their fourth Carabao Cup in a row at the expense of poor Tottenham Hotspur, who now are 13 years without a trophy. It's Over the Top, Sad Boy Kyle edition. I'm Kyle, I've got my man Justin here. How's it going?
What is up, Kyle? I can't lie to you. Pretty disappointed in Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Aren't we all?
Just like, you, it's a performance as if Swansea City was facing Manchester City in the final. Like, I'm not sure that Swansea would have looked any worse than how Tottenham looked on Sunday. And that's really bad. That's really bad. You know, you can't have too high of expectations when a new quote-unquote manager takes over. But it's not even the manager at this point, right? It's the players, right? I put in more on them, and they just were absent, Kyle. We'll get into it, but
yeah,
we'll get
into that. I'll go over some more reasons if you'll humor me. I'll try not to take up too much space, but I'm going to try to pivot real hard and real fast into something that doesn't make me feel so miserable. Super League. Not the fact that it happened, but the fact that it went kaput literally the day after we recorded the last episode. I'm pretty sure last time we talked about the Super League, I like prefaced it with this very sit on the fence journalistic thing, like this is a developing story and we'll learn more. And you kind of like scoffed at it and laughed at it, rightfully so. But what happened, Justin? The very next day.
Yeah.
The very next day.
I mean, not even you thought it would be over the next day.
No, it was. I was going to say, to be fair, like, I don't know, did any of us expect it literally to last 48 hours? I mean, what a crazy and pretty amazing movement from the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to credit them. I mean, it's like the Premier League player of the season, right? I mean, the uproar that they caused after hearing what was happening. I mean, you saw it at Liverpool when we mentioned it last week, when they played Leeds last week, and Leeds were wearing the shirt and the Liverpool fans outside the game. And then Chelsea versus Brighton, all the Chelsea fans outside, I guess Florentino Perez said all 40 of them, but all the Chelsea fans that were outside the game there. And then the Arsenal protest, probably the biggest of them all, right? Protesting their involvement in the Super League, as well as wanting the Kroenkes out. So really the mark that the fans have left. And I mean, I follow more English social media accounts, so I noticed it more there, but just worldwide, Kyle, the outrage and just the pure greed and lack of reading a room, honestly, from the owners is quite shocking.
It was so tone deaf, and none of the managers were involved, none of the players. I mean, pretty much across the board was panned. And it's pretty interesting, because as an American fan, you kind of wonder, like, you know, what's the big deal about, or why are even American fans outraged? And I think what people underestimate is, even as an American fan, you know, we grew up with these franchise teams. And I don't know about you, Justin, but when I started watching the Premier League like 15 years ago, what really drew me was this system of promotion and relegation, and the fact that, you know, the only winners are not just who wins the trophy, you know. It's you basically win something to finish top four, to survive is a big thing, to make Europa League is a big thing. So I thought that was really cool, and this would have literally just crashed most of that. But it was a pretty amazing thing to see it happen. And honestly, I got to give credit to Chelsea fans. Maybe they had the first opportunity to act on this, but this all kind of started with that big Chelsea protest last match week when they stopped the Chelsea bus getting to the Brighton game.
Yeah, there's some pretty crazy pictures of Petr Cech in the line, like trying to usher the fans out of the way to get the team buses through. So pretty crazy, but it all fell apart, Kyle. One team after another. It started with rumors of Chelsea. Manchester City were the first ones officially to release a statement, only because Chelsea were playing while the statements went out. Followed by the other four English clubs in quick succession. I think Atletico bowed out in between, and then Chelsea were, after the game, they released a statement saying the reports were indeed true that they are out. So quite a domino effect, Kyle, all of from, you know, we're establishing the league, like all these clubs came together with the same statement, like dominant teams are planning to join a Super League. you know, that all the social media is released and then went kaput. So the marketing, the rollout of this thing is just like going to be studied in Harvard Business School reviews or just like how bad this was. I mean, me personally, like I thought it had backing, you know, JP Morgan, that's a big name giving $4 billion plus. Like, oh man, how is this going to go? And even JP Morgan was forced to come out and say like, we didn't realize how bad this was going to look for us. So it is just a catastrophic failure.
Yeah. I think when you see a company like a bank, like JP Morgan Chase, who I'm sure, I know me, I'm sure you're the same. All of our like retirement is invested in companies like JP Morgan Chase, and they don't bet on stupid, you know? So once I saw that, I was concerned, but yeah, it was pretty amazing to see the movement of, pundits, fans, everyone, players, force us out. So basically all the teams left in a matter of 48 hours and all that is still technically left, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Juventus, none of which really surprised me whatsoever. But let's see, here's what does this all mean? Top four still matters in the Premier League. That third and fourth spot is still going to be highly coveted to get into the Champions League. Teams like Arsenal and Tottenham will almost certainly not be in the Champions League, rightly so. And Florentino Perez, he's come out saying some more interesting things, I guess.
Yeah, Kyle. I mean, he says that the contract is binding. So whether it's this rendition or the next one, the Super League will happen sooner rather than later, or a rendition of it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know. It's not looking good. I mean, maybe we'll just get 20 extra games of Barcelona, Real Madrid, 20 Clasicos a year to sell for them. I mean, those two clubs, I mean, the English clubs, I can see wanting to be part of a Super League and show their dominance and like they're the premier, quote unquote, premier league of the world. But the Spanish teams need the money, Kyle. I mean, they've made some bad investments. They're redoing their stadiums, both Barcelona and Real Madrid, and they're hurting for cash. So it's going to be interesting to see over the next, you know, transfer windows, what's going to happen with them.
I wish that both of the clubs' hierarchies would just shut up and live within their means. I'm so like, they are literally, these two clubs are literally who has caused this crazy transfer market and these like absurd fees. I could throw in PSG 100%.
Yeah.
And simply because of those three teams, everyone is having to, you know, you're being quoted 150 million for Kane or 120 for Sancho last year. It's just monopoly money. It's, I don't know. Hopefully there's, I don't know if like a cap is the right answer, but either way, another conversation for another day that would take hours and hours and hours to unpack. But Justin, there was a cup final on Sunday.
There was. The Carabao Cup, Kyle.
Which in normal years, I think everyone pretty much dogs on this trophy. This is at the very bottom of the tier of English trophies. There are three, and this is smaller than the FA Cup and the Premier League trophy, obviously. But anyone who tells you this trophy doesn't matter should see Manchester City celebrate a trophy that they've now won 4 years in a row. You think they wouldn't really care about it. Tottenham fans wanted this like none other, which probably says a lot about the club, but it was City's on the day, and you got to say, they were dominant. Spurs had no business winning that game.
Oh, I mean, there's no question who deserved it or who was the better team or was this the fairer result. I mean,
none.
What was the XG? It was like 0.04 for Tottenham. Sorry, I didn't want to give them the extra 0.36 there. Yeah. Some players really stood out. I thought Sterling in the opening minutes, like the opening 30 minutes, was really good. Yeah. Didn't score, but he was in dangerous positions constantly and giving the Tottenham quote unquote defenders headaches. Phil Foden, Kyle, I mean, the form that this guy has been in the last 2 to 3 months is pretty incredible. I mean, the way that Foden is playing, I mean, you have to say he's a starter for England, right?
Ooh. Like, that is an interesting one.
I mean, how do you leave him out?
Yeah. Look, I told you, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, that as highly as I rate Jadon Sancho and think he's an unbelievable player, I think Phil Foden has a higher ceiling. Because his footballing IQ and his intelligence and the way he sees the field, his touch, man, it's like kind of shocking that he's English, because you just don't get English players like this. You really don't.
I mean, he can play more positions than Sancho, right? Sancho can play up top, but he's best out wide for sure. But also not to be not to be forgotten, because I breezed over KDB. I mean, you can't diminish his quality ever.
Kevin De Bruyne, best player in the Premier League, bar none, easy. How you give? I mean, we notice we aren't talking about the game all that much, because there really wasn't all that much to report. But how you give a player like Kevin De Bruyne a free kick in that area for the set piece goal in, what was it, the 80th minute, 82nd minute, is criminal.
I believe Aurier was the...
Yeah, who right? else? Who else? Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, City celebrated, right? I mean, this is the fourth time in a row they have the shirts for it. I mean, it's pretty impressive, even if it's like, definitely the third out of third most important trophy in English football. Like, teams still care. They might not throw out their first teams on the way to the final, but the final, they're going to, in the semifinals, they're going to throw everything at it. I mean, you saw Harry Kane come out, and he was not 100%, Kyle, not even close.
Nope.
You saw Kevin De Bruyne, just back from injury, get thrown into the starting lineup. I mean, it was City's first team minus their keeper, right?
Yeah. With,
I mean, and City have a very, very important game that they care a lot more about this week, yep, against PSG. Way more important to them. And so
I would honestly go as far to say, call me crazy, is this their biggest game as a club in recent history? I mean, it very well might be. I mean,
just given their domestic success, yes, right? If they didn't have domestic success, then no, but that's a ifs, ands, and buts, like they have, and they're going to win a Premier League 3 out of 4 years now. But yeah, I mean, the Champions League's been their bogey. They went to the one semifinal where they did nothing against Real Madrid a few years ago, right? So this is it. Yeah, this is a huge, massive series against PSG, and it's not an easy one, Kyle.
No, it's probably the matchup that everyone was both betting on and hoping would be in the final. I mean, once Bayern goes out, two best teams left are 100% City and PSG, although you can never ride out Real Madrid, which it's weird because they haven't had a great season, but you know how they are.
Yeah, I mean, Benzema, right, has been their player of the season by far. But Tottenham, Kyle, terrible, absolutely terrible. I mean, there's just no, I was trying to think of a nicer word to say, but there's just really, you really can't. I mean, I don't even know what this team was. Like, you know, Ryan Mason is so early in his career, but like I said in the intro, this, to me, most of this is on the players, right? Like, we can get into the bad subs that Ryan Mason made, and that's definitely a part of it, but the players didn't show up. I mean, Ryan Mason wasn't the reason the players looked so awful in the first half or in parts of the second half. And, you know, Harry Kane did not show up, but, you know, most of that's probably due to the injury, and some of it maybe the team he's facing. Son, Kyle, I thought was worse. I thought he was non-existent. And as you said, when we were talking before the show, he gave up the ball. I didn't think he was intelligent with his runs, or I just thought he was really bad. Or that Harry Winks is just a terrible player, and so why to start him is a managerial decision, maybe. But
straight up,
that was waste. Bale doesn't start, which I personally wanted him to start. I get maybe not starting him against City because you need the defenders. But I mean, if you're Tottenham Hotspur, like, what the if do you have to lose in this game? Literally nothing, right? Like, you just fired your manager. No one is really counting on you to do anything. Like, if I'm the manager, I would be going for it. Like, who cares? But yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, he eventually came in when it was still 0-0, but didn't make much of an impact. So, Kyle, what are your thoughts as a true Tottenham Hotspur fan?
Jesus, man. Jesus. I honestly, you know, before we came on, you said you're really looking forward to talking Carabao Cup and Tottenham Hotspur offline and on the pod. I've been dreading this moment ever since Sunday. I honestly am. And that's even though I was totally expecting a loss. The most disappointing thing about this was the performance. I mean, another cup final where Spurs literally just did not show up. That's 4 finals in a row where they scored 0 goals. What is it? 2009 League Cup, which is now Carabao Cup, 2015 Carabao, Champions League final, and now this one. 0 goals. zero goals. And the one team I saw win a trophy all the way back in 2008 was not a great team at all. Was not a great team. But they had balls. And this team does not have balls. And I don't blame Ryan Mason, but I really don't. That would be totally unfair. But I don't understand the starting lineup. I don't understand the substitutions. Harry Winks hasn't started a game in God knows how long, and I really fear that, this is total speculation, but I would really hope that he didn't pick him because he's his buddy, because that is totally unacceptable. Probably unfair to even make that suggestion, but like, why on earth would Winks start otherwise? He's awful. He's not good at anything. People say he's a good passer and makes the ball tick. He was not even looking for the ball, wasn't demanding it. As a center mid, and Justin, you're center mid too, he is fucking garbage. He's butt cheeks. He's so bad. He's so bad. Gareth Bale, you literally got Gareth Bale for this very reason. Right? I mean, like, these are the games you got him for. Why isn't he starting? It makes no sense to me. And if you're going to start him, why not play maybe a more defensive midfield partnership like Højbjerg and Sissoko, who I think is garbage, but and one other. It just doesn't make sense. They offered nothing in attack, nothing in defense. Nothing in attack and nothing in midfield. The weirdest thing about this whole thing is their defense has been the problem all season, and I thought Toby and Dyer and Lloris were actually great.
That wasn't the problem this game, no.
Which is, like, maybe the weirdest part of it all is, like, Dyer was actually, like, pretty great in this game. Anyway, but it feels like Tottenham is cursed, man. It straight up feels like Tottenham is cursed. And 13 years without a trophy, with this ownership group, one trophy in 20 years, and it's a Carabao Cup. That is unacceptable for a club the size of Tottenham Hotspur. It's unacceptable. There are generations of fans, you know, I know, who, like, literally don't know Tottenham have won any trophies. And I know older fans like to, like, you know, joke around and take the piss, no trophies, huh? Which is, like, valid, but most people know that way back when, in my old days, you know, they used to win a shit ton of trophies, but it's been so long that all those jokes are, like, valid. But, man, everyone talks about Kane and Son are too good for this team, and I agree, they deserve better, but this is another final where their big players did not show up. Probably unfair on Kane, because he's, like, 50% fit. Son was garbage, dude, and that hurts me to say, because he's my favorite Tottenham player, and they were so bad, and I'm so sick of this, like, they're too good for the club, and, man, this was their chance to win a trophy, and they were non-existent. Non-existent. And the substitutions, man, like, Spurs were awful in the first half, but they play well for like 15-20 minutes. Lo Celso gets in the game, and as soon as he starts getting in the game, he takes him off and brings on Sissoko. And Ndombele doesn't even step on the field. Lucas was actually playing well. They bring him off and bring on Bale, which I probably would have done too. But still, like, you take your only two offensive sparks off the field right when it looks like it's possible. So, you know, you said it's more than the manager, 100%. Although I think this game reeked of Jose Mourinho. I mean, this team looks like they don't know what to do in possession, and that's down to the previous management. You mainly put it on the players, which I totally agree with, but there's one big reason here, and that is the ownership group of Enoch and Daniel Levy. As I said, one trophy in 20 years is unacceptable. No other club other than maybe Arsenal sees their club as much of like an investment rather than, you know, investing in the team. They don't invest in the team at all. They don't invest in the pitch. And the point of a football club is to win trophies and be successful. And they just don't do that. To not give Pochettino any signings in, what was it, 2018, was criminal. Criminal. Unbelievable. Unforgivable. Enoch out, Levy out. I'm so sick of this shit. You sacked Jose Mourinho 6 days before a cup final, as much of a problem as I thought he was. Like, why are you doing that? And the only good reason I can think of is, like, I hate to admit it, but I there's probably a financial reason. Maybe if he won a trophy, then he would have gotten a bigger bonus, or, you know, maybe if there is a certain standard of a bad performance, he doesn't get as big of a payout if he's sacked. Maybe, I don't know. That would be so Daniel Levy. And they're at a point now, man, and I'd love to get your thoughts, but I really worry about Tottenham's future. Straight up. I really do. They could easily drop into obscurity. Kane and Son, I wouldn't blame if they wanted to leave. There are a lot of deadwood they need to shift out. They never really do. Oh, man, top to bottom, there are issues. Top two managerial picks are Brendan Rodgers probably going to stay at Leicester. Julian Nagelsmann's probably going to go to Bayern Munich. We're fucked, dude. We're fucked. Like, oh, man. It kind of feels.
I'm gonna jump in. It kind of feels like after they sold Bale to Real Madrid.
Yeah,
a little bit. And that's so, that's a
great comparison.
Who is Tottenham going to get? Because I thought, you know, for the most part, they did sign some crappy players, like, you know, what's his face, the striker Soldado, and Nasser Chadli and Eric Lamella, but. I know Lamella, you like him more than I do, but
even that, I wouldn't say he's like a great signing, you know, but
yeah, I mean, but they did sign some impact players, particularly Christian Eriksen, with that money, right? So who can they get with, if Harry Kane leaves, for example, with that money to keep Spurs afloat? Because there are good pieces here. There is an Ndombele, you do have a Son if he stays, you have Reguilón, you have some pieces in place, but losing Kane, and Kane's kind of the,
like, three players in one.
Yeah, kind of the, what's the you know, the Spurs spark. It keeps them going, you know? So, I mean,
heart and soul.
Right. And so think of all the Spurs needs. Like, we've shat on their whole defense this entire season, right? Like, that's clearly an issue. You need better, you need a striker. You need two strikers. Shit. And right then you need a right back. You need some out wide players. You need to, maybe a better replacement for Winks, all of this, right? And it's a lot of needs and not something that's going to be filled with the money that Kane would generate. And so it's worrisome. It's worrisome that you're not going to get the manager that you want, at least with your top two picks. So it's interesting. I mean, I could see a period of 2 to 3 years where Spurs are not, they're not challenging for Champions League.
Yeah, no, seriously. I can see us becoming like an Everton or how Aston Villa was 10 years ago. You know, great historic club, hasn't won shit in forever. They fall into mid-table obscurity. I don't know, in Newcastle, right? In the 90s, Newcastle were like one of the teams. It's just their next manager. It has to be the right pick.
You have too much money to fall into like that level of shit, right? But I could see you having seasons like Arsenal's having this season.
100%.
Where, I mean, you're not that far out of it, but you're 9th or 10th in the table. Like,
yeah.
No, the Premier League has a lot of money. Like, Everton is getting better. Leicester is a good team. They're here to stay. Like,
no, you're right. You're right. And you make a good point, though, about, you know, I asked, like, where they go from here. The one thing I will give Daniel Levy and the ownership credit for, I don't want to give him credit, though. They are sitting on a lot of valuable assets. Dele Alli, people forget he's there. He could still fetch 40 million. Son and Kane, a lot of money. And Ndombele is valuable. Reguilón's valuable. Lo Celso is valuable. You know, there are players there. You know, they could sell Winks and bring back one of their young youth players who's on loan at Norwich in the championship. I hear he might be up for, you know, championship team of the season and stuff like that. So there are money saving options, but you just know they're going to need to sell to buy, and they don't sell low for their players, but those changes need to happen early. And I don't know, with Nagelsmann out, or Nagelsmann and Rodgers probably not going, you're maybe looking at Ten Hag from Ajax. Fuck, man, I don't know. Ten Hag would be acceptable. That's like really the only one I can think of. That's a problem.
It's a problem. I'm curious to see what the rumors come out. Some are saying our favorite team, Brighton's manager, Graham Potter, is a hot candidate. Some are saying Roberto Martinez, the current Belgium manager.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to get into the transfer talk and all the rumors as we close the season. But there was a Premier League weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And some really, really important games. So we'll breeze through them. You know, not a ton to talk about, but more of the what state are we in 5 weeks before the end of the season rather than the individual results themselves. But we'll go through them. Let's start with Arsenal. They hosted Everton Football Club, Kyle. And what a gaffe from Arsenal keeper Bernard Leno, Kyle. Richarlison is, you call it a cross, really. I'd say he was trying to cross it right in front of the goal, and it didn't turn out to be that good of a cross. Right to Leno. Leno goes and fields it, pops under his legs, but you have to realize, like, it wasn't going towards goal. It was like going, you know, parallel towards the goal. And the way it popped under his legs, it redirected to go in the goal. It was really bad.
Yeah, it was one of the worst goalkeeping errors I've seen all season. I mean, man, there's nothing like a terrible Arsenal error to make my selfish ass feel better about myself. But that was awful, man. That was awful. And honestly, it's a huge win for Everton that keeps their European hopes alive. I'm probably putting Champions League out of their reach, but even Europa League qualification for them is a very positive season.
And they're definitely still in it. There's no doubt about that. They're still in, and because they have a game in hand, Kyle. So if they happen to win that, they're at 55, which ties them with West Ham. So they are very much in the Europa League qualification. So, and I thought, you know, watching that game, and I watched a lot of that game, I thought Everton looked better in large parts of that game. The Arsenal squad was confusing. They started Xhaka at left back again. They had Ceballos playing a big role, and he had a couple good shots. I thought Pickford had an amazing save to close out that game. I'm not sure if you saw that. I'm Martinelli, but
yep.
I'm just not sold on Arsenal. I'm really curious what their direction is. Arteta is rumored with all sorts of jobs, which I'm not sure why.
What has he done to warrant that? Honestly, like, I don't get what their tactical plan is. Like, talk about disappointing players. Like, Ceballos, I used to think highly of, but man, what is going on? I don't know. This squad is, unlike even Tottenham, Arsenal doesn't really have valuable assets. They either have young up-and-coming players or aging players who aren't going to get any money. So, man, it's going to be a difficult... You would think it would be a difficult road ahead for Arsenal, and it seems like there's a little more light at the end of the tunnel for Everton.
To give Arsenal one leg of shred of credit, they might not have been playing their best players, Kyle, because they have a very important Europa League semifinal upcoming this week, which is way, way more important than anything they have going on in the Premier League, because the winner of the Europa League, Kyle, goes to the Champions League.
Yep. And so are they playing in the Europa League again?
They're playing Villarreal. Who coaches Villarreal, Kyle?
Is that Good Evening?
Good Evening. Liverpool, Kyle. They did not fare well this weekend, drawing at the death against Newcastle 1-1, seemingly in the bag. But what a crazy stoppage time in this game, where Newcastle thought they tied it up, but this crazy, crazy VAR decision that bounced off the hand of, I think, Callum Wilson into the goal. I thought it was total bullshit, Kyle. I mean, I didn't think it was in any unnatural position at all, but it was called off. But who do you know? Arsenal legend Joe Willock saved the day in the 96th minute to tie Liverpool. And here you go, Liverpool. They're just dropping points against teams that they should beat. We've said they had an easy run-in and an easy schedule, and it's still true. But they find themselves 8 points behind Leicester with only 15 points remaining, Kyle. What do you make of Liverpool?
It's a mountain to climb. It is. And you know, I feel like you and I have been trying all season to explain or try to figure out where Liverpool's problems lie or what their issues are, and it's actually legitimately difficult to try to pick apart. It really is. I feel like the pandemic has affected Liverpool more than any other club because of Klopp's like heavy metal pressing, I think is what he calls it. But then again, Pep's team does the same thing, but Liverpool's press is just not there. But man, the manner of Liverpool's capitulation in added time was pretty unbelievable, because I think Callum Wilson's disallowed goal was in the 94th minute. Totally criminal. But just a minute later, Joe Willock, who I think that's three games in a row, or his last three performances, he scored in all of them. And his last match, I believe his goal was also in extra time as well. So he's shown a real ability to pop up in the box when it matters most. But Liverpool had it coming. It's pretty unbelievable that they let all this happen in extra time. Salah had a really, in my opinion, underrated goal. That was the fact that he does that in one touch, bang on the turn, you know, bringing the ball down from the air like that was so underrated. But Liverpool, it's just bizarre. They have a mountain to climb. Their schedule is pretty easy, but at this rate, you would expect them to continue to drop points. It's just, it's bizarre. But that VAR call, man, just drove me nuts. This whole thing with VAR being really negative and taking away goals as opposed to like giving goals just drives me up the wall, man.
And I think it's honestly, because there are VAR in other leagues, like in the Bundesliga, even in the MLS. And I see it here in the MLS. And I feel like England is more of a problem than VAR and how they interpret rules and how they follow through. I don't know, man. It's bad. I mean, along with the handball rule, that's really bad. But
yeah, I think in other leagues and in the Champions League, they're giving a lot of penalties for handball, which I don't think people are very happy about. But in the EPL, man, there is just, it's not consistent whatsoever. I mean, you see, you know, there is a call in the Manchester United game, which is more of a handball, and that's not given, which would have given a penalty. And it just always seems to be negative, taking goals away. And I can't stand for that, man.
Moving on to a very important game, but kind of boring one, Kyle, where Chelsea beat West Ham 1-0 to move into sole possession of fourth place. Like I said, it was kind of boring. I mean, they started Pulisic, Werner started and got the goal. Seemed like they were resting some players for the Champions League tie that they have tomorrow against Real Madrid. But I don't really have that much to report. West Ham seemed to be fizzling out for the year, but you can't count them out because they don't have the hardest schedule either, Kyle.
No, they don't. They don't. And they're still only 3 points behind Chelsea in fourth place. But Chelsea at this point, they're just cruising. I mean, it was so comfortable. You know, I'm really surprised that Tuchel seems to, I wouldn't call it defensive, but they look very solid. But I feel like a lot of that solidity comes from just possessing the shit out of the ball. And they never give the other team the ball. They can't really score goals. I mean, we've seen Werner struggle all year. He finally scored in this game. Missed a couple other chances, of course. His finishing just really seems off the boil. But in the end, it doesn't matter because this Chelsea team has been really impressive. And suddenly, after such a disappointing start to the season, I think they were in like 9th or 10th place at some point with Lampard. Suddenly, they're in 4th place. Look, a very good, very, very good bet for top 4. They're in the FA Cup, I believe, what, semifinals? Or are they in the final now? I'm forgetting where that is.
The final versus Leicester.
In the final. And have a Champions League semifinal against Real Madrid. I forget if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but it's this week. It could be tomorrow. A hugely, hugely successful season for Chelsea. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think of the turnaround that they've gone through Tuchel. I mean, his first, 13 games were just amazing for them in all competitions. And overall, been a really, really good hire for Chelsea. But we'll see how that is long term. Sheffield beat Brighton 1-0. I don't really care about this game, so I'm going to move on. Burnley beat Wolves 4-0, Kyle. Think of that scoreline. Burnley scoring 4 goals is one thing, but beating Wolves 4-0, I think it just tells you where the clubs are at right now. Where Burnley, I mean, after a disastrous start to the season, have only scored 30 goals and are at like 36 points or something like that. So good for them. I mean, that is no goals in this league.
That's a stat.
I mean, that is crazy, crazy, but I mean, Chris Wood, first half hat trick. I mean, good for my second fantasy team. It's 20 points. But Wolves, Kyle, I mean, their defense is terrible. They can't score goals, seemingly. Like, what is happening to this club?
There have been a lot of disappointments this season with the pandemic and whatnot, and teams just not really up to the standards that they've set. But Wolves have got to be the biggest disappointment of the season. And I know Raul Jimenez really... His injury really hurt them, but top to bottom, they've got issues. They don't look good. They really deserve, 14th or 15th place where they're at right now. But yeah, Burnley, 4 goals. I'm just as shocked as you are. Chris Wood with a first half hattie. Pretty shocking. I don't know. If you were to pick a game that wouldn't have any goals this weekend other than Sheffield-Brighton, this would be the one that you'd pick. But 4-0, no one would have seen it coming. And weirdly enough, the game that had 0 goals is the one that you probably would have bet would have had a lot of goals, and that is the old rivalry of Leeds and Manchester United. old rivalry, historic. These clubs were fighting for titles in, I think, just as recently as like the early 2000s and in the early 90s, Leeds won the title. Huge, hated rivalry. And it just laid a total dud this time around. It was such a boring game that offered nothing. Nothing. Really, the only thing that I can think of is, you know, talking about Callum Wilson's disallowed goal for Newcastle against Liverpool had me thinking about this Luke Shaw handball, which to me was more of a handball than Callum Wilson's. And I'm not one that's crazy to see Luke Shaw have this handball given because it's like, you know, pretty high up in his arm, but, and I hate the handball rule anyway, but that is more of a handball than Callum Wilson's, and how that is not given a penalty is beyond me. It really is beyond me. It just goes to show how inconsistent it is. And the two big teams getting calls their way. Pretty fortunate. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but
yeah, you know,
sure makes you wonder.
Yeah, I mean, United, again, they seemingly have second place locked up. I don't think they're challenging for any title. I think if they lose to Liverpool next weekend and City win, then City wrap up the title as early as this weekend. So United second place, they have Europa League coming on this week as well, and they play Roma.
They could lose and it wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't really matter. Aston Villa tied West Brom 2-2. Extra time goal from Villa denied West Brom all 3 points, which I think is just cementing curtains for West Brom. Looks like West Brom and Fulham are both toast, but West Brom just have a mountain to climb right now under Sam Allardyce. They really need a collapse from Brighton or one of the other teams. And yeah. I don't know. It's going to be really, really tough, Kyle, from West Brom. Villa, they have not been as great in form as they were earlier in the season. They can still technically get into the Europa League places because they have some games in hand, but it's looking very, very unlikely. Still a nice season for
good season. Good season, but they're not going to get European place.
I mean, been without Grealish for a while now, so I mean, they can definitely finish top half of the table. I think that's a great season for Aston Villa given where they were last season.
Yep.
And lastly, Kyle, the game today, Leicester beat Crystal Palace 2-1 to come back in that game in the second half. Comeback. Two goals. I think the goal of the game, though, from Kelechi Iheanacho, an absolute banger to the near post, top corner. Like, oh man, to hit a ball that sweet and that hard into that placement was just fantastic. So
take a bow, son. I mean, he created that opening for himself too, and this is on top of a really nice assist for who was it? Castagna as well. So where would Leicester be without Iheanacho? Which is interesting because you could apply that argument to, or that point to Vardy earlier this season, definitely last season, but here we are. Iheanacho is the golden boy. He's been on fire recently.
Right. And, you know, this non-Europa League for Leicester has been helping them out, I think, because they started an unchanged 11 from last week. So they're able to keep their strongest squad out there, not have to rotate as much. They're healthy. And now they're 8 points up on fifth place, Kyle. Or 7 points up on fifth place, West Ham, but 8 points on Liverpool. So Leicester have to like the position they're in right now. And their next two are against Southampton and Newcastle. Win those two games and you're looking 98-99% chance likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I mean, they could even drop points like in at least one of those games, but we've said all season they have those three really difficult games at the end of the season. I think it's Chelsea, United, and Tottenham. But if they win their next two games, they could just about lose all three of those, and they will
maybe still get in.
Probably still get in. And that's assuming that Liverpool, Tottenham, Everton, West Ham will drop points, which I think you and I and everyone else on Earth think that they almost all certainly will.
Yeah, so I don't see any of those teams winning out. Maybe Liverpool, but like the form they're in are just so poor. It's hard to see.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, that's it for the games. Excited for the upcoming run. We have 5 games left in the season. We have Champions League semifinals. We have Europa League semifinals this week. So some really good things to look forward to, as well as the announcement of the Premier League Hall of Fame, Kyle. But the first two inaugural picks have been Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry. They've both been indoctrinated into the Hall of Fame, but there are also 6 more nominee slots. So there was a short list of 23 players for these 6 slots. we both have picked our favorite six from this list. So Kyle, why don't you tell us, after Henri and Shear, which are both by far and away like deserving of this, of this title, who are your next six to get in?
Shoe-ins.
And keep in mind, this does not include current players or recent retirees. So like Wayne Rooney isn't in this list, and Aguero can't be on this list because he's still playing. So it's people like
Cristiano Ronaldo
is not on this list. So it's players that have been retired for at least a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess for I just really want to encourage everyone on the pod, because I feel like we're all at different points in how long we've been watching the Premier League. If you haven't watched Premier League for that long, you know, or past 10 years, I highly, highly encourage you to watch footage of all these players are going to talk about. I mean, if you're a fan of Harry Kane, Alan Shearer is like the OG Kane, just pure goal scorer. Probably the most like dominant header of a ball in the box. I mean, man, dude is a monster. And Justin, I don't know about you, but when I started watching the Premier League and soccer in general, and maybe when I was like 12 years old, things like in the early 2000s, Thierry Henry and that Invincibles Arsenal squad, and this is coming from a Spurs fan, keep in mind. Thierry Henry, man, just go watch his highlights on YouTube. This guy had unreal goals, unreal ability. He was really the first wide forward that we've seen in the modern game. You know, it used to always be 4-4-2, two strikers up top. They were kind of like big bruisers, but Thierry Henry totally changed all of that. Baller, had pace to burn. And he had this goal against Tottenham that, I, as much as I hate to admit it, will like live in infamy forever. Go watch Henri clips. But here, I'm going to pull up the list of the 23 player shortlist. I guess we have to choose from these players. I feel like it's pretty comprehensive and there weren't forgetting anyone. But Tony Adams, David Beckham, Dennis Bergkamp, Sol Campbell, Eric Cantona, Andrew Cole, Ashley Cole, Didier Drogba, Les Ferdinand, Rio Ferdinand, Robbie Fowler, Steven Gerrard, Roy Keane, Frank Lampard, Matt Letizier, Michael Owen, Peter Schmeichel, yes, that's Casper Schmeichel's dad, Paul Scholes, remember him, John Terry, who's racist but can't deny how awesome he is, just kidding, well, I mean, he probably is racist, but he's Aston Villa's assistant manager, Chelsea legend, Robin Van Persie, Nemanja Vidic, Patrick Vieira, and Ian Wright, striker from Arsenal. A lot of good players there. A lot of good players, but I have to go with my six being Steven Gerrard, Peter Schmeichel, who is probably the greatest goalkeeper ever for me. Steven Gerrard, absolute Liverpool legend, was part of that like three amazing center midfielders England had, but and Scholes, Lampard, and Gerrard. But Gerrard just had this fire and power to his game, and he really just would completely take games by the scruff of the neck. And I just remember as a kid striking a ball, whenever you hit bangers and just ripped it, everyone would yell, "Gerrard!" as they like struck it. And that alone, legendary status. As much as I hate the guy, I have to put John Terry in there. Absolute legend, probably the standout center back the Premier League era for me. Paul Scholes, if you're a fan of long range passing, it literally doesn't get better. Elite, it just doesn't.
Kyle, elite.
Absolutely elite. Maybe I'm a little bit biased on this one, which might shock you because he's an Arsenal player, but I, as my fifth player, would put in Dennis Bergkamp. Oh my God. The most technical player at like unbelievable touch, absolute baller. Probably my favorite goal of the Premier League I've ever seen was when he like touched it at like the goal was to his back. He touches it one way around the defender. He spins the other way inside of the 6-yard box. Like literally absurd. Please go watch clips. And lastly, Eric Cantona, another famous Premier League goal. I highly encourage everyone here to look at both Bergkamp and Cantona highlights, especially because holy shit. Cantona's nickname was God, by the way, and I think he earned it. So those are my six. Who you got?
It's a good six. I mean, it's tough to pick only six. I mean, I'd love to pick more players, but that's the beauty of the Hall of Fame. You only have so many picks. Four of mine are the same. John Terry was a shoe-in for me. Yep. So was Paul Scholes.
Yep.
I thought Gerrard was a shoo-in, and then Peter Schmeichel is one of the best goalkeepers probably ever, not just in the Premier League. So yeah. I think he's a deserving spot. And you got to give goalies some love. Goalie's a hard position. Whenever I'm asked to do it in our rec soccer league where we take turns, it's just a terrible, terrible position. So you got
to
give
them credit. You got to be kind of crazy to be a goalie.
You do.
It really, it's a stereotype that's also true.
So I have two differences. One, I put Frank Lampard on the list. Growing up watching him play, I thought it was fantastic. You look at the stats, he's up there in every category, including goals. I think he's one of the highest goal scorers. I think top six, I believe, ever in the Premier League. Got to throw him on the list. And Jinx, that brings in the trio of Gerrard and Scholes. Then I have Andy Cole, Kyle, also another fantastic striker for so many years. So put him on the list. Just outside for me, where you had Dennis Bergkamp and Patrick Vieira. I thought Patrick, it was hard. I almost put Patrick Vieira, and if you ask me tomorrow, he might be on there. So just a fantastic player. But other fantastic players, Vidic was really good. I loved Robin Van Persie, but just is under the tier next. And same with Drogba. And you'd be surprised, Kyle. Didier Drogba actually has less goals in the Premier League than Romelu Lukaku.
Now that's a stat. And what's funny is I feel like a lot of newer listeners of the Premier League or followers might not even know who Andy Cole is. He is actually third on the list of all-time Premier League goal scorers. He did the business for both Newcastle and Manchester United. I think he was the one who scored that first goal in that 1999 treble-winning Champions League goal before Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored that winner as a super sub. But Andy Cole, I mean, talk about legendary Premier League strikers and Cantona, Andy Cole, and Shearer. I mean, just old school center forwards with crack skulls, dominant physical. And then Thierry Henry is the one that changed it all.
Yeah, so, I mean, hard list to pick only six, but I think all the players that we have on there, I don't have any beef with who you picked, and it's a tough list. I would have said something if you put, David Beckham. I mean, great player, but...
No. No, I think the ones that probably don't... that for me, I could probably find better players for. I'm not going to lie, Tony Adams is a little before my time, so I guess I can't really comment that much on that. Same with Les Ferdinand, but similar sort of striker, and Ian Wright as well. I love the personality he is, but actually haven't seen that much of him. But I don't know. David Beckham, I'm not sure. Robbie Fowler, great player also. I'm not sure. Sol Campbell, again, I'm biased because he's fucking Judas as far as Tottenham's concerned. but he doesn't deserve to be on that list either. Matt Letizia is interesting because he is the one player on here that never played for a mega club. But if you want, and again, before my time, but if you want to go look at some highlights of a guy who scored numerous bangers, holy shit, it's actually very surprising. So, I highly encourage you. For me, though, players that just barely, barely miss it. You said Patrick Vieira. Totally agree. Totally agree. His battles with Roy Keane were just legendary. I would put in Wayne Rooney as well, or just about, but current player, as well as Ronaldo and Aguero for sure, 100%.
Yeah, I think Rooney and Aguero are walking in whenever they appear on the list.
100%. Yeah, those are the five that I'd say are hovering around there. I also love Roy Keane as well. I mean, talk about a dirty player. Holy shit.
Yeah. Ask Erling Haaland's father about that. All right, Kyle, just before we wrap up the show, quick score predictions. Chelsea at Real Madrid tomorrow. Who do you have?
Ooh. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 Real Madrid.
Classic Madrid. Play shit more or less all season. Show up when it matters.
Wednesday, PSG hosts Manchester City.
Oh, man. The one that I think you and I and everyone else are really looking forward to. This is hard. I don't know. I'm really interested.
Really hard. Mbappe looks healthy. Okay, I'll go first. I think PSG wins 2-1 in Paris. That does not mean the tie's over in any stretch of the imagination, but PSG win 2-1 in Paris.
you know, I really want to disagree with you and play devil's advocate and whatnot, but like, I don't know.
I think they have 2 days extra rest over City.
You know, my head tells me a PSG win, but I don't know, I got a weird feeling that City's going to go there and win, and then Pochettino, the magic man that he is going to work wonders when they go back to Manchester.
Ooh, so wouldn't that be something?
I'm gonna go with a 2-1 Man City win in Paris.
You're thinking of that wonderful night in Amsterdam, aren't you, Kyle?
He's magic, you know. Mauricio Pochettino. I miss you, Pochettino. Come back to me, please.
We'll end there on a high for you. But check out the great games. We have Champions League this week. We got Europa League on Thursday, and then a great slate of games starting on Friday. I believe it starts with Leicester Southampton. So make sure you follow the pod at Over the Top EPL on Instagram and Twitter. Stay safe out there. Kyle and I will be doing this show in person soon, starting in May, because we're going to be vaccinated together. So that's going to be awesome. But until then, stay safe. We'll see you soon. Bye.